Okay, let's talk about when someone else is sinning. So again, kind of like the communication session that I taught earlier today, some of this might, depending on your background, feel like it's a little bit basic. But I created this session because I don't think it is basic for everyone. Knowing how to deal with when someone else is sinning is something that our church practices very regularly. So on a monthly basis, we are in one way or the other dealing with people who have sinned, have been disciplined from our church, are seeking repentance and reconciliation. So it feels to us like the air that we breathe, but the more that I meet people from other churches, the more I realize not everyone practices this. And so I thought it might be helpful if we just explored. So with righteousness and justice and sin in mind, what does it look like when you are the sinned against? So let's pray and ask for God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you for loving us so much that you even told us how to handle it when someone else is treating us wrongly, so that we know how to honor you with the way that we react to them and respond to them. And God, I just pray that you'll help our time to be beneficial and that you would help this session to give people hope. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we talked in a previous session about these terms, so I'm not going to belabor the point a ton, but just to remind ourselves, righteousness means what God has defined is right and good, and God makes it super clear how he wants us to live. And sin is anything that misses the mark of what God has said is right and good. If God's definitions of right and good is the middle of the bullseye, sin is anything that hits anywhere other than the bullseye. So we're all growing, those of us who love the Lord, we're all growing to live more righteously, but we all miss the mark. So that's the first place to start in this conversation, is that when someone else sins against us, it's easily us turned around. We often sin against other people. So it's not like we're above that. We're all growing. So that gives me compassion when other people miss the mark when they're dealing with me. We're all alike. None of us are above each other, and we're all supposed to be growing. So today we're going to be discussing how we should respond the right and good way when another person that we're in a relationship with in some way has missed the mark. And I think it's super important to begin with that good theological understanding of righteousness and sin, because if not, we're in pretty big danger of thinking that the greatest problem when someone around us sins is how that sin affects us. And so that's not actually the biggest problem. Someone sinning against us is not the biggest problem. If God has defined what is right and the way we should live, and we've been saved through the sacrifice of Jesus and redeemed to live in a relationship with God again where we can be righteous, we're going to understand problems between us and other humans in a totally different way. So, to make it a point, someone else's sin may affect me. We're not saying that we're not affected by it. That's not actually the biggest problem. When someone sins in my vicinity, it splashes on me for sure, and that certainly connects with my own heart, and I want to respond in all sorts of ways. And sometimes those could be not righteous whatsoever, but God is the person most affected by someone else's sin. So the very first thing I want to advise you to do when someone else is sinning is to remember that the biggest problem in this mess is that that person actually sinned against God. Against God is the sin. It just happened to affect you. And the reason why it makes you upset is because it affected you to the level that you're upset about. But people sin against me all the time, and I don't necessarily get upset about it because it didn't connect with me for some reason. Like, I was like, well, no offense. Like, they may have also sinned against me in the process, but the primary problem is that they sinned against God. Like Psalm 51:4 says, "Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." Psalm 51:4 urges us to remember that when we sin, it's first and foremost missing the mark from what God our Creator commanded us to think, want, and act like. So Psalm 51 is the recording of King David's response to the prophet Nathan confronting him and how he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had Uriah killed. David's sin obviously affected Bathsheba and definitely affected Uriah. But ultimately, David's actions were defined as unrighteous and sin because he'd missed the mark of what God had commanded as righteous behavior for his people. And so when you look at the scripture, and the scripture wasn't complete at that time, but it was complete enough that you could see in God's law that the Israelites had been taught to not covet and to not commit adultery. So David had clearly engaged in those God-defined unrighteous behavior. So when he was confessing his sin to God, he was absolutely right in clarifying that the greatest wrong was that he had disagreed with God about what is right and good. And the fallout of that was huge. We know that from reading the story. If David had chosen to live righteously before God, people's lives would have been spared a ton of pain. So even though his sin was against God, it had devastating effects on Bathsheba and even more devastating effects on Uriah. So bringing this back to us, it's helpful to think when you're in the thick of a conflict with someone else, when they're sinning and their actions affect you, it helps if you remember that you're not the one who is most offended in this situation, which is very helpful because in the situations where I do really care about it, their hurting me feels like the worst thing. Like it's personally offensive. God is the one whose definitions of what is right and good in that situation had been violated or ignored. He's the primary offended person. So it's right for God to respond with wrath in that situation. And if a sinner is a redeemed person, then we know that Jesus on the cross absorbed all the wrath of God that was due for that sin. And if the sinner is not a redeemed person, we know that they're going to face the wrath of God unless something changes that situation, which allows me to have a level of compassion mixed in with my upsetness or grief or whatever the emotion is about having been sinned against, because there's something that's more important than the fact that I've been offended. If they're not a believer, they are going to face the wrath of God. So those two sober realities can honestly help us respond in a difficult situation without adding our own sin to the mix. God's the primary offended person. People are also affected. But let's think about the specifics of how to handle this. So we're going to look at three different categories. The first one is the category one, when someone else is sinning, but they realize it themselves and care for it righteously. So what it looks like, someone comes to you, confesses that they've sinned, and asks you to forgive them. That's awesome. 1 Peter 4:8 teaches, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. I want to work through this verse with you because I think that sometimes we don't understand it well, we don't teach it well, we don't apply it well. Because of the fact that Jesus triumphantly conquered sin and death, his redeemed disciples can embrace living the way he did, that we too can be triumphant in suffering, even when it's unjust, because we're remembering that we are permanently, eternally free from the consequences of death. So, the worst that can happen if someone sins against God and it affects me is death. The best thing that can happen if someone sins against God and it affects me is death. The greatest threat that any enemy has against me, the threat of death, is not even a concern for us anymore if we are in Christ. So me being offended is not that big of a deal. If they offend me to death, I go to Jesus. And if they don't, I am in Christ. So either way, the worst that can happen and the best that can happen is the same thing. So because my greatest threat is removed, I'm free to love others without fearing that they can harm me. Not that I should just be a glutton for punishment or a wet noodle or doormat or anything, but I can respond to other people sinning fearlessly. Like, I don't need to be afraid and shaken because someone has sinned against me that I won't know how to handle it and I won't be safe. In verse 2 and 3, Paul says, because that's true, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. So because we strive now to be controlled by God's definitions of right and good, we're not going to handle other people's sins whatever way we want to. It's one of those redemption things. If I belong to Jesus, then even the way that I respond to other people sinning is going to look different. So that brings us eventually to verse 8, where we're urged to love each other earnestly and let our love for others cover a multitude of sins. And I want to talk specifically about what it means to cover someone's sins.